So, final question.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to mess up a baby? Hello, and welcome to Should I Be Scared of This? I, of course, am your host, resident scaredy cat, Jordan Foisey, just trying to avoid looking at my own shadow so I don't think about it gaining sentience and strangling me in my sleep. This is Should I Be Scared of This? I'm obviously not scared of that, but now that I think about it, that would be a horrifying, horrifying life if our strangling shadows were after us. No, but this episode, I wanted to talk about something much more down-to-earth, really the most down-to-earth thing that a person can think about. It's truly one of life's most primal, most important, and but also most common fears, and that's becoming a father, becoming an old man, you know, becoming a little hockey coach for a little boy or girl. I've started thinking about this because I'm about 29, and you know, it's the time now that there seems to be babies literally popping up everywhere in my life right now. It's like all my friends got really fertile at one moment and just started pumping and humping away, and now there's just babies everywhere. It's like everywhere I look on social media, you know, there's a little scrunched up face and just looking back at me and challenging me with their cute little hands, asking me like, do you got what it takes, you coward, to be able to raise me? Could you raise me? Could you show me how to walk? Could you show me how to vote? It's a very big fear. My brother just had a baby, and I went and visited, and I was holding this baby, and I was looking down and oh god, holding a baby, what a nightmare that is right there. It's like all of a sudden your hands feel like they're made out of two planks of wood, and you're just like, am I keeping this thing safe right now? Because it feels like I could drop this thing. Like, it feels like your hands are just like ice, like it's gonna slip right off. So, but I'm holding this baby, and it was a weird moment. And my mom was there, and my grandmother's there, and my brother and his partner, and I was looking at this baby, and it was just like, it was an alienating experience. I was happy, but it also was suddenly like, I felt so far away from being the kind of person and being in the kind of place in my life where I could do this. Like, it suddenly felt like maybe I'm not father material. Maybe I don't. And that was a troubling feeling to have, because I think that's a very important question. Like, a lot of people would say, and I think I agree with them, that being like a good parent is really, when you boil it down, kind of the only important thing that anyone can get up to. What else is there, you know? But it scares me. I don't know if I can be that kind of person, because I had a horrible father. If all being a father was falling asleep on the couch whenever you felt the whim to do it, and then getting up in weird blinding rage and lashing out at those around you, I could kill it. I've got a lot of experience. I've watched that go down, but I think it's pretty clear that that's not what being a father is. But that's all I know, and because of that, I have a lot of fear that I would wreck this person. You know, I'm not over the damage, even though I'm so old. I'm not over the damage that's been done to me, and I worry that I would, instead of ending that sort of lineage, I would carry it on, and I hate the idea of just adding another broken person to the world. You know, so that's my fear, but you know what, that's not a good fear to have. I feel like I might be closing the door on a very key part of the whole human experience, maybe the only part that matters. So I decided, you know what, let's not sit in this purple hued room of fear that I've constructed in my head. Let's open the door and let some light in on these cobwebs. So I decided I'm going to talk to some people, and I got some great guests lined up for this episode to help me out. The first person I talked to was Sharon Ramsey, who is a family and marriage counselor in Toronto, and she's also the president of the Ontario Association for Marriage and Family Counseling. And then I also talked to Adam Dolgan, who is a father of two young children and also runs a website called fodderforfathers.com, which is a website for dads to help them out in their parenting excursions. And so you know, I started off by getting right into it and asking, I wanted to find out from Sharon, it's like, the fact that I have a bad dad, is that going to make me any worse of a father?
So I have issues with bad and good, because it sort of says that everybody's one way all the time. So I think about, did you want a dad who was able to play with you?
Right.
Or was your dad super sporty and you weren't sporty? Or maybe your dad was the stereotypical behind the newspaper, right, came home from work, shut it down, and you wanted a dad who could goof around. Was your dad too goofy?
Right.
Was he too in there? So it's all this, like, what were you looking for as a kid? Did you get it? And what might you like to be,
right,
as the dad of your children or as a parent of your children? And again, those are things we don't often think about, or we think about in extremes of dad was so bad, I'm going to be the awesome rock star dad.
Right.
And then you have this child who will mold you into the kind of parent that they might need.
Right.
I guess all I was looking for in a dad was one that wouldn't disappear on cocaine benders and then show up and lash out when he ran out of said cocaine. So I guess I had a rock star dad without any of the fame or money, but definitely in terms of the self-destruction. So I guess I'm going to try not to be a rock star dad. I'm going to be more like a James Taylor dad, hopefully, you know, a little more fire and rainy. But this is very comforting to find out already. Like, it's not important that what I went through, everything is going to be new with this little guy or girl, whoever may abstractly show up in my life at some point. So that makes me feel good. So now moving forward, I wanted to know, it's like, well, what's really important then? What do they need? What should I be looking out? What should I be trying to create for my hypothetical, beautiful half Asian baby?
The other thing I would say is really important is structure, some predictability.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to loop Adam in on this question.
Rules are good too, to some degree.
You need discipline.
You need discipline. Some discipline. You can't just let them run wild on you all the time, because right, they have to know what they can and they can't get away with. And once they know that, they know what boundaries they can push and what ones they can't, which makes them a little bit more comfortable. Because, right, you know, if your kid one day is, you know, running around, you think it's funny, and the next day they're running around, you just throw them in their room and say, you know, yeah, don't go anywhere for 2 hours. You know, they have no idea what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
So what are the routines, not in a hardcore, you must be asleep by 9 o'clock kind of way, but what are the routines that can help a child understand there's a structure to my environment? Parents, in as much as we might only want to say, I'll go by the baby schedule, you probably need to sleep. You probably need to eat. You might like your child to sleep. Let's try and think about some routines and structures that make the day safe.
Right.
Well, that's a little disconcerting, I'm not going to lie. Setting up structures and discipline, not quite what I'm known for in my circles. I'm not really known. I mean, here's an example of how unstructured I am. Every wedding I've been invited to, I've never RSP'd. Everyone just assumes that I'm coming and that I'm a lazy piece of shit who can't get it together to do it. And they're right. And they're right. I've never missed one. But on the other hand, how would they know, right? So it's like I'm not very good with structure. Like, I haven't had breakfast in 6 years, I think. I don't, like, unless breakfast counts as just the first thing you eat, then I guess I've had breakfast, but that means I've had poutine for breakfast a ton. So I guess that's something I'd have to work on. I have to get that structure. You know, I need a little more structure in my life. I could use it. You know, I'm tired of just flopping around like a fish that just got pulled up into a old Newfoundlander's canoe. Like I need a little bit more, rigidity, a little more rules. So maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe me and this beautiful half Asian baby that I got cooking up, maybe me and this baby will fucking do it together. We'll figure out how to schedule it together. And I can finally do something with all those agendas I bought in a flurry of self-hatred. But there must be something that I can offer. Like, so that's something that's in my wheelhouse, but maybe there's something else that I have to offer to people, you know, like to this baby. Like I'm relatively good at building relationships with adults. I'm becoming friends and caring for others and being empathetic. That must count for something, I hope.
You're building a relationship.
Right.
So you may have a baby that's quite placid, happy with anything. Great. And then you have a second child who may be a little bit more higher needs. First baby wasn't better or wrong, just different.
When my daughter was born, she was easy. So, you know, I was worried about being a dad actually myself.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, it was going to be the hardest thing in the world. She came out, slept all day, ate whatever you put in front of her, always smiled. My son came out, he was the devil.
And I think for men in our society, broad generalization, there's a lot of accomplishment and I'll do it right and I'll get it done on my own. Mm-hmm. Well, you probably didn't do that in your relationship with your partner. You probably sort of worked it out.
Right.
Here's another opportunity to work it out. And isn't it great to get it good enough?
Yes.
As opposed to perfect. Let's get it good enough.
You know, the hardest part about it is, you know, obviously don't have kids, but if you have kids, it's like usually they prefer one parent over the other. So with my son, if I'm alone with him, he's a little bit calmer.
Oh.
But he's a bit of a mama's boy. So if my wife's around, I can't do anything to calm him down. It has to be my wife.
Really?
Yeah. So it frustrates me, but it frustrates her even more.
So this is very comforting to hear, you know, like it's similar to raising a child is similar to building a great relationship with someone. It's about patience and it's not about being perfect all the time. It's about just being good enough, just kind of allowing yourself to be in that scenario and allowing yourself to learn and to grow. And so, I mean, that shit sounds fucking awesome, bro. But there's still one fear. I mean, it's very nice to know that you're not alone, but there's still one fear that troubles me so much about this, where it's like to me, whenever I see a baby or a little kid, you know, they're like little evil mirrors, you know. They're like, with their eyes, the way they're looking at you, and they're just absorbing everything that you exude, all the weird freaky neuroses that you got swirling up in the black pools of your brain. And you look at their eyes and they're just absorbing it all and reflecting it back to you. And that's horrifying, you know. Like, whatever, I don't like the idea of passing on what's in my head to another person. I don't think that's fair. You know, nobody needs to have this much horrible trivia mixed in with this much kind of shame. You know, it's not a good combination, and I'm just so scared of them picking it up from me, even when I'm trying to not give it to them. And so I had to find out. The thing that was really troubling me is, like, is it important to make sure that I get my head right and myself right before I bring another person into this world?
Well, I suppose that depends what getting your head right would mean. If getting your head right is to never, ever, ever, ever again have a depressive thought, to have any self-doubts, and to feel like you just every day you wake up and it's all good, Well, then I would say that would mean you'd probably never be human again.
Right.
So, given that you're probably going to be human for the rest of your life.
Yeah, hopefully.
Right?
Until
things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't control anyhow.
Until Apple takes care of that problem.
Well, there we go. But even then,
yeah.
Even then when that happens, I wonder about what's your best self? Like, when you're at an okay spot.
Right.
Who are you?
Okay.
Are you the kind of guy who maybe is a little introspective and you might want to hang out with your baby, your child, your adolescent and find out about them? Are you the kind of guy that would want to introduce your child to something that you really enjoy? Are you the kind of guy who just kind of hang out?
Mm-hmm.
If you can sort of see yourselves and self in those ways, you could probably handle being a dad because a baby will invite you to hang out for a while.
Right.
A child who's mobile will invite you to explore with them.
Right.
The child who's just discovered Star Wars, like the old school, not the new stuff coming, they would really be like, oh, look at that, it flew.
Right.
And you get a sense of wonder. The child who needs comforting might only come to you because they know you as their dad.
Right.
And only you, whatever it is, the way you smell, the way you look, the way you feel, is good enough. There's something really, really special about children accepting us as we are.
Wow, right.
That could be quite transformative.
I think you just have to lead by example. I think it's they just pick up who you are, who my wife is, obviously, but it's not even extended family too.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have a great extended family and they have a lot of good role models to learn from and they don't see a lot of bully-type people, then they won't be bullies themselves.
Like, so you think it's like...
I think a lot of bullies are mimicking another bully they know in their life. If you don't have humor as a parent, it'll eat you alive. A sense of humor. Look, my daughter calls me by my first name.
Yeah.
She taught my 2-year-old son to call me by my first name.
That's funny.
Which would frustrate a lot of people. You know, when she really wants something, she'll call me dad. So it's not such a big deal.
This is all gravy. This is great. You know, and so there's still one more thing one more question that I really need answered from these two, though.
So, final question.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to mess up a baby?
Well, depending on what you mean by mess up. So, babies, the big things like sleeping, eating, understanding the cry of the baby, those things... I sometimes think that kids kind of string us along for a little bit, and just when we think we've got it worked out, they change it up to keep us on our toes, which is kind of cool. I think if you weren't attentive, that can really mess up a baby, mess up a child.
Okay.
If you want to go on to YouTube, there's the strange experiment where a mom is totally focused on her kid and making faces, and then she's instructed to stop and not respond at all.
Oh,
and
God.
Watching that child trying to get the connection with the mom again, it doesn't take very long before the baby's like in a state. Like, what just happened?
Right, it's traumatic.
Very, and it's like, oh, I thought I got this. And then the mom's instructed to go back and talk with the baby. And the baby's at first like, okay, whoa, freak me out.
Yeah.
And then kind of comes back to normal again. So I would say for dads, get in there. Right? Let the baby know that you care, you're interested, you're not stone-faced, you're not all goofy, you've got a range of emotions, and learn to be together.
Okay.
Because if a child knows that they can trust you, they trust you.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been great to hear. It's been lovely to... All my fears have kind of been resolved in a way where it's like I'm learning that it doesn't matter that my dad was shit. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be shit. It doesn't matter that I'm a bit of a basket case. Most people are. And that raising a baby, it sounds like it just depends on being able to build relationships with people, being able to have a sense of humor, being able to be patient, and being able to just kind of be okay with yourself every once in a while. And I think I can do those things, at least 3 out of 4. But you know what? These two, they're brilliant, and they sound like great parents on their own. But also, though, I wonder if they're truly... like me. I wonder how much that they get the perspective that I'm coming from. I feel like I just need to talk to somebody a little bit more like me. A little bit, as someone else who, you know, whose brain sometimes feels like it's a hive of fire ants, and I've been tied to it over with some stakes, you know, in the middle of a desert. Like, that's, I need somebody who's got a brain who works like that. And I just realized that, of course, I do know somebody like that. My my best friend and fellow comedian, Steve Patrick Adams, just had a beautiful baby girl named Emily Francis. And so I thought, well, fuck, man, just talk to Steve about it. He's like you. His brain's a deep, dark, sweaty, gross labyrinth. And he has all the same fears, and we used to communicate about them, about the possibilities of becoming a father. And then he went and had a baby accidentally. And so I thought, I got to take all this, take everything I've learned, and go talk to my best buddy to hear what's been the highlights for him, what's been the lowlights for him, and what has he learned from being part of this horrifying miracle called birth.
It feels, it's a really satisfying experience so far. Like, it's a frustrating and it's a satisfying experience. It's those two things. In a pretty extreme way.
What is frustrating about it? And we'll return to the good stuff, but I'm interested. This is Should I Be Scared of This? So let's find out what I should be scared of. What's frustrating? Like, what is it? Like, it's just impossible to reason with a 2-month-year-old?
I guess I guess my own brain, in that it seems to forget that you can't quite reason with such a new life form.
Right.
Like, why don't you think rationally?
Yeah, I can
rationalize your pain.
Repress pain, express it through poetry already. What's wrong with this baby? Is the frustration just from, like, you just can't, you just don't have any control over what's happening?
We have more and more control, and that's really, like, really satisfying and neat. I guess it's just kind of you end up feeling like stuck at times. Like, wow, I've been she's been in my arms, and we've kind of been bumping up and down. That's how she calms down.
Yeah,
eventually falls asleep, and then she'll fall asleep in your arms. You put her down. She'll wake up immediately. Start over.
Really? Start over. Okay. So you're just constantly bumping up and down.
Yeah, this has really kind of been my main role as the workhorse of the bumping up and down.
Yeah. Like, your thighs are jacked right now.
Yeah, my right thigh.
Yeah.
My right arm. I'm going to be some twisted freak soon. Oh, yeah. I guess it is the things of that nature, like the physical stress as well. Mental, I think that the nicest thing, the thing I was most afraid of, is that, like, I was worried I wouldn't instinctually have that care or interest.
Yeah,
I was afraid, like, I'm gonna have to. What if I just am not, like, what if I have to force this for 18 or 19 years?
Yeah, that's my fear.
But I mean, I can't speak for everyone, because you're obviously gonna react differently. But the instincts, they just took over. They took over, and I found myself instinctually captivated, concerned, and excited in a way that I don't think I've really felt like before. I mean, in relationships, you sort of feel like that, but it's different.
So that's a, like, was it instantaneous?
I'm going to say no. It was something, I remember as soon as she came out of Diane's womb.
Yeah.
Which I got to see the whole thing. It was pretty cool.
I was going to ask, you watched the whole damn thing?
Yeah, I feel like I got a play-by-play in my brain that will, and if I may quickly describe it.
Yeah, please.
It was like she was this mushed-up thing that came out and then immediately popped into a baby. Like, it almost, like,
Oh, like
baby.
Really? Was it like one of those, you know, when you used to put those sponges in a cup of water and then fill with water and became like a dinosaur?
It's exactly like that, but about 1,000 times faster. Childbirth is like, you know what, honestly, it's like a, oh, you know what, a lot more is coming back.
take all the time you need.
The final moments are much better than the chest bursting scene in Alien. The lead up is a lot like the chest bursting. Oh man, this first. Sorry, getting thing back on track. I remember like holding her hand for the first time, super cute, and her looking at my blobby form. And I would say like, oh wow, it felt like a really neat experience. But the kind of that affection grew over a few weeks.
And, oh, okay. So it wasn't love at first sight.
Well, it wasn't like the strongest feelings.
Right.
In like the most I felt, it kind of just that was a slow build.
Yeah.
And maybe more satisfying, you know, like a song you don't like right away. Although I did like it right away.
Let's just
unlikable B side,
right?
Or grows on you,
right?
Listen to the pop songs too many times.
Yeah, this is like a really. This is like your favorite song. You heard it. And first, you're like, this is pretty good. And then after a couple listens to it, you're like, oh, this is my favorite song ever right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, this leads to a question I was going to ask, I think, also. And you have a joke that alludes to this, but it's like one of the fears that I think our especially selfish generation had would be like, basically, our kids are going to ruin our lives. Like, whatever piddly little dreams we've cooked up, our kids going to come along and just smash them to the ground. Do you think that's happened, or do you think it's actually made it better and more fun?
You know, that was definitely a great fear of mine. You know, yeah, I do have that joke about my dreams and Diane's dreams just floating away.
Yeah.
But it definitely hasn't been the case. And that, although certainly a time you would dedicate towards your projects is has evaporated some. I feel like I've been given back a lot in the sense that I've been given back a lot of things to talk about, like in
right.
stand up. In your life, the stakes have immediately become higher in. Creatively in what you're doing, if you do address the fact that you have a child, because it's like, suddenly you're talking less about, you know, kind of silly things like sticking your finger in a fan,
yeah,
and more about the fact that you're responsible for another human being.
Okay, yeah. So I have a horrible dad, and Steve has an okay. Steve had an okay dad. Steve had a dad, but that being, where do you draw sort of like, where are you getting it from? How to be a dad? Like where are you even, or are you just figuring it out as you go along? Like,
you know, I would say, I don't think too much about like, what does it mean to be a dad?
Right.
And again, I think that, the person who I am kind of instinctually, kind of informs that. And again, you're not thinking too much about it because you're pretty busy. But with that said, I think a little bit about my dad, and I think a lot about my stepdad too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about my mom, you know, like, because again, like roles changing, you think about more than just like how your dad or your stepdad or your other dad were involved.
So you're not, it's not something where you, you're not weighing yourself against anybody else. It's just going, it's just proceeding.
Yeah. I think there's, you know, advice and things to take, but yeah, I don't feel that constant, that desire or instinct to compare to my dad's
right
or yeah, I just kind of I've had a lot of thoughts about raising a kid, and they're pretty established, and I'm pretty confident.
That's amazing. So you've kind of like, you got like a working philosophy toward being a dad. Like, you feel like confident sort of where you're like, not that everything's finalized, but you think you got a bead on it.
I do. And then there are also the times where I think, am I just completely way off? Wait, maybe I'm so confident that I'm really screwing things up because I'm missing something. And that happens a fair bit. Like, and I think it's important because I don't want to be delusional, right? Like, even when, you know, you're doing the bounces, like when I'm bouncing her to sleep, I'm like, am I messing her brain up?
These bounces are getting pretty intense. I mean, my knee hurts. Oh. I can imagine what her brain feels like.
Yeah. Like, my back is sore.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, she clearly demonstrates, like, more, but I don't know, maybe that's stop.
we kind of expounded upon the fears here, the all the fears that I can kind of, but we started off by saying, like, what's good, what's satisfying about it? You said it was both frustrating and satisfying. What's satisfying?
What's most satisfying to me is how interesting all the little changes are. Like, she's constantly changing.
Cool.
Right now she's smiling a ton, and you can kind of give her a smile, and she might give one back, and that's.
Oh man, that sounds
exciting.
Yeah, that sounds great. So. So how many hours a day do you just spend now smiling at a baby?
You know, at least a couple.
And it's satisfying.
Smile.
Yeah, you're doing that kind of...
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. Like, I might previously find that really lame, and I'm sure part of me still does, but it just overtakes you. Like, ooh, that's so cute.
Right.
You're just gonna freak out over the cuteness, and... you just let it happen.
So that's it. That's the episode. And I got to say, unlike other episodes, I legitimately think I've gotten over this fear. I think becoming a dad sounds all right. I don't think it's a scary thing. I think it's kind of a beautiful thing. Ew. So yeah, that's it. I'd like to thank my guests for helping me out with this. I'd like to thank Sharon Ramsey, who was absolutely wonderful and may have given me some free therapy but without her realizing it. So nice. And then I'd like to thank Adam Dolgan again. Check out his website, Fodder for Fathers. And of course, I'd like to thank Steve Patrick Adams, who you should follow on Twitter and find on the internet because he's one of the funniest dudes going, as well as a great friend. And of course, I'd like to thank my producers, Amy Gotung, Chris and Miles DePaul. I'd like to thank Peter Chapman for the music, as always. And I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Go on iTunes and give us some nice ratings so that Steve Jobs' ghost will stop hassling me in my dreams. And have a good one, guys. See you later.